Thank you so much for this opportunity again to share with you. Hopefully, my English will be better than the last time. So, we're going to study today Ephesians 1. And we'll read from... we'll study Ephesians 6 through 10. I'm going to pray before I start this. So, yeah, pray with me. Lord, thank you so much for this afternoon, Lord. Thank you so much for the blessing we have to gather together and just worship you and praise you. And we want to open our hearts, Lord, to just receive your word. And I pray that whatever we learn today, Lord, it won't just stay in our heads, but it will influence our lives and that we can walk according to your word, Lord. We want to be obedient to your word, and I pray that your Holy Spirit can help us this afternoon to understand what you want to speak to us through your word, Lord, through Ephesians. Thank you so much. Amen. So I know you already had an introduction of Ephesians, but this letter is something that you kind of need to review everything you read, because it's a letter that was meant... So when we read this letter, the goal of Paul was that we can praise God for what he has done. And Ephesians is one of the letters that is considered one of the best letters in the New Testament. Martin Luther called this letter the Queen of the Epistles because of the rich theology that is in it. And you can get lost in this epistle because many of the doctrines that we know today, they have come from the text in Ephesians, in the New Testament. And when we read since the very beginning, this letter, there's so much theology that you can just get stuck in one topic. But I want to have an overview of this chapter because the idea of Paul, I think, is for us to understand what God has done for us and glorify him. So if you read Acts, what Luke wrote it, Paul went to preach to Ephesus. And in chapter 19, if you read chapter 19 of Acts, you can see that probably this church in Ephesus was founded then, when Paul went and preached the gospel there. And we can see that the gospel was very effective in that area because people started a riot against Paul. And they wanted to get Paul because this town, Ephesus, or city, it was a lot of theologians. When they talk about Ephesus, they compare Ephesus to what we know today as New York, because it was a place with so much tourism, and they used to worship a goddess called Artemis, also called known as Diana. Artemis is the Greek name, and the Latin name is Diana. And when they went to worship to this temple that they had, that it was considered one of the seven wonders of the world, it wasn't just the Ephesians going to worship. It was people will say that it was the whole world will come and worship this God. And one of the reasons is because it was known as the God of the... forgot the word.
Fertility.
Yes, fertility. And they will come and worship this goddess because of that. But also, there were so many things happening there, like magic. And people were afraid of their fate. they were always concerned about their fate, the future. And Artemis also had the power, in their view, to change anybody's fate. And that's important because some things that Paul says here kind of relate to what they believe, right? Because they were not sure about their fate. But Paul comes here and he starts teaching that God has given us insight of what is coming in the future. And he has given us insight of how things started. You know, today we have scientists, people who study the natural laws, and they have all these questions about the origin of life, right? And we as believers, we consider God's word as truth. And God has been telling us how life started. He created it. So we don't have those doubts about the beginning because we have God's word. And also, he's talking about what he's going to do in the future. His plan and the plan that he has had since the beginning of time. So we're going to read Ephesians. Something that I want to point here is that I want to read Ephesians 3 all the way to 14. But we're going to focus in verses 6 and 10. The reason why we're going to read from 3 all the way to 14 is because even though you have maybe some sentences there, this whole thought was one sentence. And this sentence has been considered as a very beautiful poem that has so much theology. So we will read it right now. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to the purpose which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the warranty of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise and glory of his glory." So, it was long for me to read. But can you imagine? This is one sentence. Everything we read, Paul just said it in one breath. And the reason why he did this is because this is a letter that should create in us the desire to glorify God and praise him for what he has done. And even from the beginning when he says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ," verse 2. He's trying to tell us that peace that we have received through God, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that brings us peace between us and God. We can be at peace with God. So when we read Ephesians, we see that Paul also uses the term apostle. And that's very important because usually they will use these words when their authority is being challenged. Or if there is some division in the church and they want people to know that they have authority and they have been sent directly from God. In this case, this letter was meant to circulate through the churches. It wasn't for a specific situation that the church was going through. It was just to circulate and all the believers to read it. So I was going to make a mistake today about I was going to say, oh, we can number the blessings. But every time you find a blessing, you see that it relates to something else, and then it becomes another blessing. And there's so much you can find in here. But something that was happening in Ephesus, it was that there was syncretism. And this syncretism caused the believers to have a hard time because all the other religions had to accept each other. But when Paul tells them that we have been called to be holy, that means to be separated from everything that's happening there. And I think we can relate today with what's happening in our society, in the world. If you claim to be a believer, you get in trouble for your beliefs. And this letter will encourage us to live according to God's word without worrying about what the world says. And we can divide this letter in two ways, two parts. One is the first three verses are going to tell us what we should believe as Christians. And the other three will tell us how we should live as Christians. So when we were reading here, I'm going to start in verse 3 just to get to verse 6. It said, blessed be the God, our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We see that he's telling us that we are blessed if we are in Christ. And in Christ, he has chosen us. Many people, when they heard the word chosen, we think about the doctrine of predestination. But I don't think Paul's intention of this is for us to make a theological argument. But it's for us to know, for you to know, this letter was written for the church. So when you hear these words, you can praise God and say that you are blessed because you are in Christ. And that's the only way we can be chosen, is if we are in Christ. If somebody here is wondering if you are chosen or not, my question to you would be, are you in Christ? Because that's going to be the only warranty for you to know if you are saved. Right? So, yeah, let's keep reading. It says, for even as he chose us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. One of the blessings that we see here is that we are adopted and we're forgiven by Christ. I think that's the first thing we have to understand. That we have been blessed in Christ because if we try to save ourselves or to compensate for all the sins we have committed and we will commit, we won't be able. But because Christ paid that price for us, God sees us as his sons and daughters because we are in Christ and Christ paid the price for us. And that's what we know as the doctrine of I forget the word.
Propitiation.
Yes. And also, God took our place because we should be the ones paying for those things. And that's what, when we read, now let's go to, when you see that there are many words that repeat in here, it's because there is no an order, like a logical order to follow this passage. And it's because the idea of Paul is for us just to grasp what God has done for us. And then he said, "He, according to the purpose of his will." Now here it's 6. It says, "To the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved." When we talk about grace, we're talking about something that we don't deserve. That's what grace means. When we found redemption by God's grace, it's a gift of God. So we can now say that we are able to do things to please God, really, to, I don't want to say to please, but I want to say to earn salvation. Because that's what separates us from all the other religions, is that we know that we cannot be good enough to earn salvation. And that's what Paul is saying here. He said, you should praise God because you have received grace. You have received salvation and you haven't done anything. You just need to be in Christ. And when you are in Christ, all these blessings will follow you. And when we talk about these blessings in nature are spiritual. And now we have many people preaching the prosperity gospel, and they abuse verses like this to make people think that we can get the best here in this life. But the truth is that when God talks about the riches that we possess, that we already possess, because when we think about these blessings, we always think in the future. We always think after we die, God will bless us with all these spiritual blessings. But John, I think it's John 17:3 says that for those who know Jesus, I'm just going to paraphrase it, that we already have eternal life. When we come to know Jesus, we have eternal life. So it's not something you will get in the future. It's something that you receive when you receive Christ. You can rejoice now because you have eternal life. And let's keep reading here. And let's see, 7. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace again. Let's read 8. Which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. Sorry, I'm a little slow to read in English. Reading this verse is very interesting because he's talking about the riches of his grace, and he says that he lavished on us all those riches. But something that is very interesting here is that in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will. This mystery is the church. And it's us, especially the Gentiles. Paul, when he was talking, when he talks, and he will say it later, he will actually say that mystery is that the Gentiles, now, we can be saved through Christ. And that's a mystery that has been revealed to us. But also when he's talking about in all wisdom and insight, is that we have God's word. And God has revealed to us everything we need to know to glorify him for, to live according to his will. We have everything. There is nothing secret for the believer in the way that we have to live here. And for the things we have to thank God. You know, he has been so good to us that we know why we can glorify God and praise him. And that should create in us this desire. And I was thinking about this because when we talk about grace, we might think we understand it. But I think if we will understand grace, we will praise God every day. Because we have no idea what it means to be separated from God in eternity. You know, and I think that should be something that we need to think. Because we come to church, we praise God, but sometimes I feel like, am I really praising God because I understand what he has done for me, or I don't really understand what Christ has done for me? You know, and that's something I think every believer has to come to. It's something that we have to wrestle with. You know, do we understand really God's grace that we don't deserve? Because we think, a lot of us here will think that we have been good, you know. We haven't done any crime or things that are bad, you know. But the truth is, we all have fallen short from God's glory. And yeah, I think Paul, that's the reason why he wrote this. And I don't know, it's something that we need to, when we read it, we have to think the passion that he was writing this with. Because you can, I don't know, people who read Greek, they will tell you that when they read it, they see so much passion in Paul's writing. And because he wanted to grow, somebody said that he was using all the techniques that he could have used to write a beautiful poem with all this theology. And maybe in our translation, it doesn't seem like it. But that was what people saw when they were reading this letter for the first time. So let's keep going. It says, we were in 10. As a plan for the fullness of time, let's read from 9 again. Making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. This has like an eschatological implication, because even though we are united here as the body of Christ, he's talking about all nations being together glorifying God. And we have the blessing to experience some of that right now as a church. We are the body of Christ, and we should live. I think John MacArthur said that we are practically Christ on earth. The church should be Christ on earth right now, because we are his body and he's the head. So when people see us out there, we should be able to at least testify of what God has done through the church. We need to do that. We need to go and give testimony of what God has done in our lives, but what his word says too, because this is the most important. Churches can do many things to attract people. They can do events to attract young people, married couples. But the only thing is going to change their heart is the word of God. Nothing else has the power to transform people's life. Something that is very important here that you need to have in mind is that this work that the Holy Spirit, that Paul is telling us through this verse that God is doing, is the work of the Trinity. You can see the whole Trinity working through this passage for that plan that has been set from the beginning of time. He talks about God the Father loving us and choosing us in Christ, and that the Holy Spirit is the one who is the warranty of our salvation. And that warranty, it means like a down payment for a car, a house. You know, when you give that down payment, you pretty much own it. And that's what the Holy Spirit is, the down payment for our salvation, because that's the warranty. And I don't know you, but when it's hard for me to express these things in English, but I get very excited when I have to preach, because sometimes when you just read the scripture, sometimes it's hard to grasp all these things. But then more you study God's word, then more excitement comes to you, because you know that what you believe is something that God has planned from the beginning of time, and is renewing your mind every time. And things that you didn't understand, they come and make click. And that's why this letter was written to believers. Because for somebody who hasn't received Christ, and somebody who is not in Christ, this will make no sense. But for us, it makes sense. Because we know that God has a plan. And we are not worried about our faith. Even, you know, we have times like right now with the virus and all these things. And it brings fear. A lot of people died. And a lot of people died without hope. You know, a lot of people die with hope in Christ. But those are the things that I think we need to see, that God has a plan for everything. And God's love and God's security will cast all those fears. I'm not saying that we won't have fear. There's a lot of things that we fear. But there is a comfort. And especially what Paul said in the beginning, that we are at peace with God. And that should be our greatest comfort, that we are at peace with God. Because one of the biggest blessings I see here is that we won't endure the wrath of God if we are in Christ. And that's probably the greatest, that we are saved through Christ. I was thinking about, when I was talking about Paul talking about the Ephesians, that they were living in this area where so much pagan religions were around. And there was a ministry in Arizona, and it was a college ministry. And a friend of mine was leader of that ministry. And the college told him that if he wanted to have a ministry in college, he needed to include all these other religions. So they had a leader for Mormonism, another leader for Islam, and they had to work together. And if he wasn't willing to work with them, he wasn't going to be able to develop his ministry. And that's pretty much the situation these people were living in this time. You know, if you didn't accept the other religions, they will attack you or make your life miserable. And we live the same things today. So Paul is calling us here to put our identity in Christ and reject all those things that are not according to God's word. And those are the things that we need to stand for. You know, the things that God has called us to be obedient. And it was sad to think that my friend had to say no to that ministry. Because we have to be holy. We have to be separated from all these things. But at the same time, God opened doors in different ways to share the gospel. So, I don't know, this letter, next week I'm going to be talking more through this letter. But I want to challenge many of, I don't know if all of you here are saved, if you are in Christ. But just think that if you are not in Christ, all these blessings, you won't be part of these blessings. And it's not about the blessings, but it's the separation. We don't understand really what the wrath of God means, but it should be terrifying to us. And sometimes I meet believers who have been believers for 5, 10 years, and they haven't even taken the decision to be baptized. And I'm not saying that baptism saves. I'm not saying that. But sometimes those things show your commitment to God, because that's part of our obedience. We get baptized because we want to be obedient. Christ did it in obedience. And I'm not saying, don't take me wrong, that if you're baptized, you're not saved. I'm not saying that. That's not true. But what I'm saying is, our obedience to God, how it looks today, tomorrow, next week, in our jobs, is our identity as if we are in Christ or not. And I just want to pray and just leave you with that thought. And yeah, thank you for this opportunity. Lord, thank you so much for today. I pray, Lord, that whatever we heard today from your word, Lord, it can give fruit in our lives, and knowing that we are so blessed in you, Lord, through Christ. Thank you so much for that gift of salvation, Lord, that we don't deserve. And I pray, Lord, that you can transform our lives daily, Lord. Thank you for all these things that we have in you that we don't deserve. And I pray, Lord, that we can have a desire to praise you every day, Lord. Thank you so much for this church. Thank you so much for the desire of this church to study your word, not just to study your word, but to know you and to walk according to your will, Lord. Thank you so much, and I bless you, Lord. Amen. Will you stand with me, please?
Jesus, I surrender all to Him. Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.